Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome Cody. I'm your host, as usual, Cody. And we are wrapping up the month of April. It's last week of the month, last episode of the month, and we're wrapping up the theme of the Ultimate Marvel Universe. For the folks who are just starting this podcast or with this episode, Ultimate Marvel Universe is a alternate universe in the Marvel world where they redid a lot of their heroes' origins and changed a lot of the characters, just stories in general, had different variations of the teams. For example, the first week we did the Ultimates, which is the Ultimate Marvel version of the Avengers. You have, we did the Ultimate Iron Man, we did Ultimate X-Men, and then this week we're doing Ultimate Spider-Man. Ultimate Spider-Man was written and created by Brian Michael Bendis with a longtime artist, Mark Bagley. He later switched out after 111 issues, 110 issues? Yeah, 110 issues, I think it was. I'll tell you right now. 110 issues was his last run. He did partial inks on issue 111, but his last full issue was 110. That's a lot of books for one artist to do all the way through. And he did every single issue other than the annual 1 and 2. I think the only two he didn't do, that was done by Mark Brooks. But he did everything else through all 110 issues, which is crazy amount of time for one artist on a book, consistently, too. It's like they didn't take a whole lot of breaks. The book started in 2000, ran his run again, 100 mark for Mark Bagley. He ran 110 issues, which spanned all the way to the year, let me get to the right one, 2007. So literally in 7 years, he wrote or he drew 110 issues of just this book. I mean, it's crazy. And covers, dude, covers as well. I mean, it's just, woo. I mean, it's pretty crazy the amount of work he did on this particular book. He helped create a lot of the characters' designs throughout it. Brian Michael Bendis, the Ultimate Spider-Man creator, essentially, he gave a lot of ideas to what he wanted characters to look like to Mark, but Mark got a lot of the character recreations and designs for the book, which is pretty cool. And then Stuart, I think it's Immonen, I think is how you pronounce it, took over after Mark Bagley's departure and ran for the next 23, 22 issues, something like that. Hold on, where is... I have his page here. Ha 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 ha. I was thinking ahead. Yeah, so from 111 to 133, he did all of those, as well as he did a bunch of other stuff, too. He's done a lot of stuff for Marvel and DC and a couple other things, not really anything big. But yeah, he's, you know, pretty dope-ass artist himself. Yeah, so Ultimate Spider-Man has all the key players. Hero side, you have Peter Parker, who is Spider-Man, obviously, spoiler alert. May Parker, Ben Parker, Mary Jane Watson, Harry Osborn, who is technically he's a good guy, but later becomes a bad guy, but not to his... I mean, he didn't really want to. He was forced into it. Let's see, you have Gwen Stacy, Liz Allen, Flash Thompson, you have Kitty Pryde, Black Cat, Nick Fury, Dr. Kurt Connors, the lizard. You have, Richard Parker, Mary Parker. You have Spider-Woman, and then you have the introduction of Miles Morales as Spider-Man. I'll get to that in a little bit. Villain-wise, you have, again, the same cast of characters that you always have in the Spider-Man, plus a couple extras. You have Green Goblin, Dr. Octopus, or Doc Ock, or Omega Red, which is in kind of a newish thing to the Spider-Man-verse. You have Demogoblin, you have Carnage, Venom, the Shocker, Rhino, Kingpin, character named Swarm, the Enforcers, Electro, one of those has electrical powers, the other one's just a badass assassin ninja lady, Sandman, Kraven the Hunter, like I said, Venom, he's two parts, it's hard to explain, but it's alright, I'll get there. Again, you have Lizard, Hobgoblin, Silver Sable, Deadpool, who in this one is not a anti-hero like you have in the Marvel Universe now or in the past. You have Vulture, Mysterio, the Tinkerer, Beetle, Ringer, and Mr. Big. Total run of issues is in full 200, which is a bunch, but it has that includes everything from let's go back to my list here, 160 individual issues, and then the other 40 consist of miniseries, ones that are in continuity but not in continuity, known as later on known as Ultimate Spider-Man. You have Spider-Man Requiem, which is two issues. You had Ultimatum, which was four issues, three annuals. So those are all in that run, like basically the 100 and or 200 issues all are comprised in there. So it has a lot you can read. It has story arcs. There are a total of 23 technical story arcs. There are 22 in the 133 issues of non-specials, I should say. So you have Ultimate Requiem is a separate one. But along there you have, like I said, you have a total of, 200 comprising of those, cause the ultimates are, the annuals are thrown in there as well as the miniseries. And then you have, crossovers that he was in with, Fantastic Four and X-Men. And I think that's all of them. I think it's all of it. Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty pretty good amount of books. Over a total of 14 total years, I believe. 14 years would be also including the Ultimate Comics ones. It doesn't matter. But anyways, that ran, the original run ran till 2011, so 11 years total, and then a little bit after that because of the Miles Morales stuff, and the reemergence of Peter as Spider-Man, and I'll get to that in a minute. I'll go briefly over the characters and their differences from their normal Marvel Universe counterparts. So Peter Benjamin Parker, Spider-Man. Origins, very similar. He's on a field trip to Oscorp where he then gets bit by a spider that was exposed to a drug called Oz. He then experienced, normally people who have been bit by these spiders are exposed to Oz, die. So he is special. He gains superpowers, pretty cool. He develops his web from a one of the last unfinished projects his father was working on. previously to his death, I should say, and that's Richard Parker, his father. Then, like I say, he finishes that, and then that becomes his web that he uses. In this, he has same thing. So he has spider sense, super strength, agility. He also has immortality, which comes to play a little bit later. But it's not like, oh, I got stabbed through the heart and I'm back to life. It takes a while to regenerate, but it doesn't matter. I'll go over that in a little bit. May Parker is a little bit younger in this. She's in her 50s. She is, at first, actually hates Spider-Man. She feels that he is an endangerment to bystanders because he is reckless and hides his, behind his face behind a mask. Later, she finds out that Peter is Spider-Man, is extremely angry, later comes to accept it, and then gets very worried for his safety as he, you know, faces down all sorts of threats as Spider-Man, as well as Peter Parker, because there's a lot of that too. Later on, spoiler alert, he dies, leaving May alone. So then she immigrates to France with Jean, with Gwen Stacy, who actually has a really traumatic life as well as in this universe, much like she does in the normal one, just not the same. You have Mary Jane Watson. You have Ben Parker, who is his uncle, who gets killed by a robber, which leads to Peter feeling guilty, leading to him becoming a full-time superhero to stop things like that. So Mary Jane Watson, who is Peter's girlfriend and the girl next door, she is the first person that Peter reveals his secret identity to, and is the only one who often fixes his costumes and treats his injuries. They break up quite often because of his life choices and the burdens of the relationship. She actually, at one point, was transformed into a villain, who then when later was fixed by the Fantastic Four. She was basically kidnapped by Harry Osborn, or by Norman Osborn, and with the help of Otto Octavius, she was then turned into the Demigoblin, who is large, had orange fur and horns, and transformed like that, much like the Hulk does when she gets angry or scared. She turns into that, and then is later reversed. But because of those events, she has PTSD and has panic attacks and night terrors, and is not in good shape after the fact. So it's pretty traumatizing. You have Harry Osborn, who was a friend of Peter, but is also the son of Norman Osborn. He witnessed the accident that turned his father into the Green Goblin. Green Goblin, I'll get to in a minute, it's drastically different than the version from that everyone knows from the other universe. He's a psychiatrist. He's the psychiatrist, right? Yes, he's a psychiatrist. No, he's trained by a psychiatrist to repress these memories. I'm sorry. He later then gets forcibly turned into the Hobgoblin by his father, and is very similar to his father in the fact that he's very large in size. And I'll get to that in a minute. Becomes a villain and is, I want to say, later murdered by his dad for being a garbage son, I guess, and a failure in Norman's eyes. I think that's what it is. I think his father kills him later on. It should be on my list here, but there it is. Here we go. In issue 117, he's killed by his father. He's cool because he actually can create fire with his hands. It's pretty cool. But He's big in orange as well. Much like his father, who's big and green. Let's see. I forgot to mention J. Jonah Jameson is also in this book. So is Robbie Robertson, Ben Eric, Betty Brant, and Ned Leeds, who all work at the Daily Planet at one point with Peter. Gwen Stacy, her character, besides being a friend of Peter, never really romantically with Peter, more of just a kind of like a brother-sister relationship. Later becomes a surrogate brother he becomes a surrogate brother to her. Basically her father gets killed. She blames Spider-Man because the guy who killed her father was dressed as Spider-Man. Later she then finds out who Peter is and then obviously somewhat comes to terms with it. She was actually killed by Carnage during one of his outings of murder and rage. She later shows up. Turns out that she's a new version of Carnage. And then during the symbiote wars, I think it's called the symbiote war, symbiote battle, something like that, one of the story arcs they have, the symbiote that's in her body is removed and absorbed back in the Venom, and then she is examined by by Tony Stark, and is seen to be a molecular copy or clone of the real Gwen Stacy, who is just now back to life. And then the project that was that created her and Carnage was known as the Stacy Project, which is pretty crazy. Let's see. Liz Allen, who is the Mary Jane's best friend, who is mutant phobic, is then later revealed that she is actually a mutant because her mom was impregnated by the Blob. She eventually becomes the character name was Firestar, and then shortly after that, Peter tells her his identity, and she becomes a hero as well, seen remotely through different stories. Flash Thompson's just an asshole, who is the last recurring character to find out who Peter's identity as Spider-Man after Peter's death. He actually gets his hand broken by Peter when Peter first gets his powers. He attacks Peter at school. Peter catches his hand, and the force of it, of him grabbing it, actually shatters his hand. And then Peter has to pay off that medical bill, which is ridiculous. But he has to pay it off as becoming a professional wrestler, where he gets the basic costume, and then later on changes that costume to a full fledged costume later on. Actually, he gets fired and stuff like that. But yeah, so Peter was a wrestler and, you know, that sort of thing. Kitty Pryde shows up. She actually becomes Peter's girlfriend for a while. They break up due to some shit, living so far apart and things like that. But she breaks off after witnessing Peter kiss Mary Jane. And then later becomes a student at the high school, Midtown High, after the dissolving of the Institute for Gifted Youngsters after Professor Xavier's death. Very good friends with Peter after the breakup. After Peter's death, she leaves with Iceman, Bobby Drake, and Johnny Storm, Human Torch, to rejoin the new X-Men with Jean Grey, better known as Karen Grant, which I talked about a little bit last week. You have Black Cat, which is Felicia Hardy. This is a really funny little blurb and capsulizes her story quite a bit. Felicia Hardy blames her father's death on Kingpin. Taking revenge, she steals a priceless artifact that was going to be used on that Kingpin was going to use on his comatose wife. Hardy is interested in Spider-Man romantically, but in Ultimate Spider-Man number 85, when she sees that he is a 15-year-old boy, she vomits on his costume out of embarrassment. Hilarious. Nick Fury, who's a dick in the Ultimate Universe, like I've mentioned before, actually almost kills Peter because he has a scientist, the scientist known as the Tinkerer, create Spider Slayers, which are supposed to be to handle Peter if he ever gets out of control. And then later during the Ultimate Clone Saga, he actually becomes a fan and supportive of Peter. However, in Ultimate Power, which is another spinoff from the Ultimate Universe, he was taken to another universe, removing him from Peter's universe. He later returned during the events of Ultimatum to help finish off Magneto with the help of the X-Men. Kirk Connors is an Empire State University professor who sponsors Eddie Brock's Venom Project. Eddie Brock is a scientist as well as Connors' assistant, who's taking over for his father and Peter's father in an experiment known as the Venom Project, which is a suit designed to be wearable by cancer patients. And the suit will eat away the cancer and help them survive, hopefully eradicating eventually. And then it goes horribly wrong and becomes a murderous monster that has some pretty terrible things behind it. You have Richard Parker, who was a scientist and a biochemist. He was originally on Nick Fury's team to redevelop Captain America's lost super soldier serum. He went against the government when they tried to make the venom into a weapon, and then was ended up getting killed in a plane, air quotes, crash that killed him, his wife Mary, Eddie Brock Sr., and Eddie Brock Sr.'s wife, Eddie Brock's mother and father, and then later came back as saying that he survived, but actually was an older, cloned version of Peter that rapidly aged and ended up dying because of it. You have Spider-Woman, who ends up being a clone of a Spider-Man. Her name is Jessica Drake. She later becomes a member of the Ultimates, that's a pretty fun run too. Very reminiscent of the Gwen Stacy Spider-Gwen character from the very popular movie, but also comic books. Very, very reminiscent of that. But she has part of her cloning is she's able to produce organic webs from her fingertips, so she doesn't need web shooters. She can just produce it out on her own. Then you have Miles Morales, who was introduced in Spider-Man. He is a 13-year-old, half-black, half-Hispanic, who is bitten by a genetically altered Spider-Man who gains similar powers to Peter Parker. Not wishing to become a superhero, he does not put his powers to use and later becomes witness to Spider-Man's death and feeling guilty that his abilities could have helped Peter. He takes up the mantle of Spider-Man and becomes the ultimate Spider-Man. Very reminiscent if you've seen Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, very, very reminiscent of that, the origin they gave him in that one. So, villain-wise, I won't go through all of them. I'll just give you the top ones. Well, actually, I'll give you the top two, because those are the ones that actually matter. Carnage, I'll give you three. I'll give you Carnage, too. So, Green Goblin, who's known as Norman Osborn, unlike the variations from the other universe, Norman Osborn doesn't wear a suit. He's genetically mutated into a monster with a physical structure very similar to the Hulk, with the ability to generate fireballs from his hands, and is responsible for not only his son Harry's death when Harry was actually the Hobgoblin, but later on simultaneously killed Peter while Peter actually killed him as well in the final battle at the end of Death of Spider-Man miniseries or arc. Later, I don't think they ever actually brought him back. He was, even though he has immortality, he's dead, I think, or at least somewhere he can't come back. I don't remember him coming back very much. Might have done it later on. I can't remember. But he is oversized. He's very, very large. Like I said, the Hulk size. He is insane and is bloodthirsty and has this obsession with Peter and Spider-Man. Knows Peter's secret identity and uses that several times to his advantage. And then later on goes to Peter's house to kill May to bring him out. And that's when Peter, who has a gut shot at the moment from Punisher, is then killed on the front lawn of May's house, which doesn't really help May's life any. You have let's see. So Doc Doc, very similar. He's a scientist at Oscorp. He's very scary smart, as Harry says once. The four cybernetic arms he uses were actually tools he designed to manipulate hazardous material. They were permanently fused to his flesh during an explosion that turned Osborn into Green Goblin, turned him into Dr. Octopus. He's pretty menacing. He's behind the clones that later do that are the focus of the Ultimate Clone Saga, which is the one of the reasons that Mary Jane becomes the demigoblin. Jessica Drake is one of the clones from that. It's a clone of Peter, female clone of Peter. There's a bunch of ones in there. That's pretty pretty crazy. Carnage is actually a variant of the Venom symbiote. It is a mixture of Doc Connor's blood, Peter Parker's blood, and a strain of the Venom variant, and is broken and damaged. And when it gets on a host, it has to repair its damaged DNA by feeding on hosts and other creatures, and it's just ravenous, kills lots of people, and is very, very bad. Later, we're back into the Venom, the entire Venom symbiotes later on. That's really it, I think. All the other variations are very similar. Deadpool is actually a cyborg. Who is designed to hunt down mutants on a reality TV show, which is pretty fucked up. That's really it, I think, for that. Ultimate Spider-Man, that's it, yeah. For this week's episode, I think we're wrapping it up here. That wraps up the month and the theme. Someone mentioned to me that I should have ended with the Ultimates because... as of the release of this episode, which will be Wednesday, the following day of the release of Endgame, but they don't really have anything to do with each other other than the fact that they're variations of the Avengers. So I feel perfectly fine with the way I did them. I started with the Ultimates because that was the start of the whole thing, and then later went to the other ones. So I did it the way I wanted to, and I was right about it. Thank you for suggestions, but I believe I did it the right way because there's not enough of the Ultimates and the MCU to really be like a correlation, so there's no reason to. I know I mentioned a lot of their backstory and change is very similar to this, but not similar enough to actually make a correlation. Like I said, that's it for this week's episode, ending the month of Ultimate Comics. Next month, I will be doing some books, I believe some novels. I don't say believe, some novels. I'm going to do a couple of the recent ones I've read, but series-wise. So every week will be a different series I talk about. Because I'm wrapping up the Passage series, and I'm about to start the new Expanse book, so I'll talk about both of those series, as well as some other ones that I've read next month. So that's it for this week's episode. I am Cody, your host, and this has been The Awesome with Cody. And as usual, I always like to say is, let's be awesome.